Welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for October 29th. How are you guys doing today?
I am great. What a beautiful morning.
Doing good. I'm doing good. The weather's cool, but I'm okay.
I have to say, I walked outside this morning. I was like, this is my favorite weather.
Yeah. This is mine, too. Yesterday was my favorite weather.
Okay.
Yeah, like 50s.
It was windy, though. Yeah. Yesterday was really windy.
Yeah.
Briskness in the air. If you can't tell, Jeff is back with us again this week.
I'm back. I made it. I made the cut. I got invited back. I wasn't too embarrassing last week.
We actually have a 3-week trial period, Jeff, so you know.
I'm still on probation.
You're still on probation. That's fair. Double secret probation.
Double secret. I got to try out. I got to test myself with Xavier now.
Well, see how it goes.
Very happy to have Xavier back. How was St. Croix last week?
It was good. It was definitely an experience. Because I thought that I didn't do my research going. So I thought St. Croix was like Bahamas, anything like that, but it's not at all. But there's joy in it because you really get to have peace because it's not commercialized. Mm. So you really just get to sit in the water the whole time and go to the little restaurants, mom and pop shops, and the weather was good. The people were very, very friendly. The mosquitoes are terrible. I look like I have the chicken pox, but an amazing island. I would definitely go back in a heartbeat because I truly relaxed, like truly got my mind together.
Except for the itching part.
Yeah, before the what?
Except for the itching portion.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got aloe vera beside my bed. So,
well, good deal. A little bit of a light news week this week, but interesting. I think we'll start off with some of our friends here at Leap. Interesting to note that they're going to be starting a new food hub, which, for those of you who don't know, is kind of an aggregator to bring all the small farms together so that they can then sell to bigger end clients down the road. So
yeah, I caught that on the news, actually watching it. You know, it's always exciting to see
the news.
Well, sometimes, you know, I always get excited when I see, you know, all of a sudden a friend pops up. So saw Sam's wonderful face there explaining about the hub. I totally distracted about the rest of it. So the rest of it's beyond me, but sounds like a good thing. I trust what Sam says. Beautiful property. That looked nice too.
So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Leap has done great work in really forming a system for food, local food, which I think speaks volumes for the work that they do. It's not just about, you know, providing hungry people with food, which is great.
Right.
It's about building a system that supports everybody and hopefully fixes several problems at the same time. So
yeah, exactly.
I think it's nothing like having a home, like to have somewhere consistent to go. I think it says a lot for growth as well.
Absolutely.
For where they came from and to have a home now. I think it's cool that it's a barn. I'm trying to figure in my head how this works, but I know that they'll work it out. Leap is a really good program, so shout out to Sam.
Where was the barn? That's the only question. It seemed like it wasn't
it's
close.
On the property, I think.
That's right. Yeah. It is at their farm, too.
If you see the mobile market rolling around town, stop in and buy some veggies and ask them about their new food hub coming up. So
I think there's another clear option that there's an opportunity to teach people like me about where your food comes from.
Sam, next time you see Jeff, tell him about where his food comes from.
Because otherwise, and here we go. Check this out. I was ready for this one. Otherwise, I just assume it comes in on a truck on the highway.
Ooh, yes. Man.
Did you like that? I've been working on my transition.
The master of transitions here. Yes, and there's a big meeting last week where VDOT shared a number of their plans for I-81, which we have talked about a number of times on this program. But sounds like they actually have some concrete plans for how they want to move forward, including looks like tolls most likely on 81 to pay for the couple of billion dollars in improvements that they want to do. So I know Xavier has strong feelings about this.
As much as I travel, I mean, I don't mind tolls because I get it. But this coming home was always the place where I was like, I don't have to pay tolls.
Right.
And, you know, knowing that it's going to be here again, I always try to find the positive and everything. So I know that means the city is growing. More traffic will be coming through, but I don't know. I hope it's maybe like the 70-cent toll, not the $1.25.
I've got a lot of friends in planning, and when I heard this story, fun fact, I actually have a Class A CDL. I used to drive a truck across the country. And
that's an amazing story.
So I have that view of it, and then the other view, which is I don't know the last time I was on a highway living here, which is equally awesome that my commute does not include the highway. So,
oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So I don't know. When I hear these stories on ID1, I have to think back to when I used to travel all the time. So anyway, I also know there's a long time frame before this actually happened. So it'll be interesting to see. But my takeaway was they were, I think, trying to tax more of the commercial traffic on it through the toll.
Yeah. So less the locals. There looks to be like an option for residents to pay $25 a year to kind of have all your tolls taken care of and use as much as you want to.
Yeah.
And then the trucks would be looking like a fairly substantial, like 17 cents a mile toll or something that, which would be pretty hefty. But again, it's not
heavy.
You know, the businesses worry about the trucks not using the corridor because it's a big boon for us to be right on this big trucking corridor. But I find it hard to believe that the trucks are going to start using 95.
No,
95 is just a disaster.
That's not a solution.
All the time.
Well, plus, I mean, you look at the trucks, they got, you know, they got fuel prices to look at. 17, that tax may sound a lot like to us, but for them, that cuts off, you know, they only get to drive 11 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to go out of their way. That's going to drive up costs more than a toll. They get it. They'll be happy to, you know, they don't, that's the company, the owner operators are the ones that are can deal with it, but they just pass that cost through to their, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to consumers with any kind of tax or toll. And so spread it out. I think it's a win for all ultimately, but it takes pain to get there.
Well, it's important to note, I think, that it's not like they're just going to institute a toll and not do anything. They're going to be doing some serious changes and upgrades to the highway to get it, and the toll essentially to pay for those upgrades in many ways, so including new lanes between here in Christiansburg and apparently a truck climbing lane in Buchanan area. And, you know, so there will be improvements to go along with the tolls. Although, also, there will not be toll booths. It sounds like it'll all be electronically done.
Cool. Okay.
So,
yeah.
So, because that's always bothered me when you have to stop and get that bottleneck.
That's what I'm saying.
Toll.
70 cent toll or $1.25.
Yeah. West Virginia. We always go $6.
Yeah.
Like this will get me through West Virginia.
Fun story. I got stuck between the tolls when I was in college without enough cash to get through the second toll. And there's very few places in the middle of West Virginia with ATMs to get money to go through the next toll.
It wouldn't let you go through?
Probably, but you know, I'm a young person.
Scared.
I'm scared.
You can run. They'll give you IOUs and then you mail it in.
I was going to say, all they do is take a picture of your tag.
Yeah.
Well, no. But I'm too good of a citizen to have been in that situation.
Brad is not a rule breaker. What does that say about us?
It's like, whatever. They'll build me.
So. Right.
Well, this next story is not one. As most of you all are probably aware, there was a stabbing downtown last week. I don't want to dwell too much on that. That's not the kind of stuff that we've typically covered because we don't quite know how to cover it, to be honest. But I did want to talk a little bit about this reaction that the police have had to increase the presence and add an officer downtown between now and January or so, which I have to say it bothers me a little bit that we see a bunch of crime in other places and now we have one crime in downtown and we're going to add another police officer to it. It just seems like they're responding to the loudest, most privileged voices in some ways with this move. But
well, of course. I mean, that's our tour center. That's lots of small business owners. You know, these are the media picks it up because it's exciting news. Two people got stabbed. You know, what is Roanoke? You know, it's funny. My wife was actually reading the comments on that, which we actually got our new
comments,
tagline from it, which is... just another day in Lib City. That was one of our favorite.
What?
Yeah. Hey, Facebook comments, right? Like, don't dwell on them. But, you know, somebody that obviously doesn't live in the city. But, and also somebody coming from a major, you know, city in Florida, nonetheless, where Florida Man lives. You know, we kind of just looked at this and went, oh, okay. Holiday season's coming up. We're going to get more traffic. The shops are going to be busy with shoppers. You know, great. Put a police officer down there because of that, not because of an incident and people all of a sudden are deeming the city unsafe. But you know what else I'm going to say to the police? Make sure it's a friendly cop. You know what I mean? Put somebody down there that gives them a chance to interact with people, not just, you know, have a menacing look to.
That's so true. So I think that says things for all of the communities, not just downtown.
Right.
You know, place people in these places that not so much, it's just not just a job to them. Mm-hmm. You know, they can mm-hmm. actually interact with the people and get to know the people. So then the other people feel okay with talking to them and communicating. So then when visitors come in, they see people talking to the cop. Like, it's more of a relationship than right. I'm just down here to find, you know, find the bad guys.
Right.
It's more than that. It's I think everything has to be relationship and going into it with the right mindset. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. There's a transition opportunity. Are we done with? Should I transition this one? I'm making such a big out of the transition.
Go for it, Jeff. You're the new the new master here.
Well, there was, you know, some of that work being done by the police cadets, I believe, mm-hmm. this weekend as well. You know, a lot of that proactive work, getting the cadets in their training with the community. They're a big presence at the community walk this weekend, I understand, in Northwest. So that's a step in the right direction.
Very, very, I mean, very much so. I think the more, especially, I mean, I know in the Northwest area, the presence and the stigma of cops is just not, it's not good. It's mm-hmm. just, this is what we see on a negative, like it's right. negative, it's a negative thing. So I know with like Mayor Lee's the league, the Melrose League,
right?
With the cops playing and stuff like that, it changes the relationship. Cops going into schools, things like that. I think it's just gotta be very particular about the people who are doing it, because you know the wrong thing said or the wrong thing done, it can change that whole. Mm-hmm. That whole face of it. It's good for a lot of cops to be in the Northwest area, but then, you know, our kids are thinking, well, this is the only place they're at.
Right, right.
You know, this is the only place they're at. Usually you go downtown, you don't see cops. So it's got to be a lot of thinking into it before just...
Right, right.
You know, just before just placing cops places. I don't know. Mm. I feel like this could go for a while. There's so many different thoughts and so many different aspects of it.
Well, it's one of those clear things, I think, that we don't have an answer to at this
yeah,
point.
Right.
Like, we're still trying to figure out that whole thing. And it's...
Well, there's a police officer in the market now, so they'll see him there.
So if you want to go talk to him, there'll be somebody downtown that you can go talk to.
Yeah. I mean, for the business owners that are down there, I understand you have a business. You want your business protected. I get it. Believe me. It's just, I don't know.
Oh, my. Well, to take Jeff's lead on the segue, as I'll move from, there's also, in addition to the police help watching out for our safety, we've also got actually a young middle school student at Hidden Valley Middle who is doing the same for her classmates there. My main takeaway from this story is this is a young woman at Hidden Valley Middle who has worked to get a student-led safety committee kind of thing started there. And my main takeaway is in some ways that I'm just sad that she has to think that way and feels the need to act on that, because it's just not something we should ever have to deal with for our children. And now it seems like a regular occurrence. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, with this... Pittsburgh this weekend, you know, and what amazed me about that story too was that she realized that, you know, she had the forethought that she didn't know how she was supposed to react. And she said, you know, maybe somebody else feels this way too. So she took, you know, that initiative to find the answer herself and then make sure that others knew it. And, you know, that kind of, I think it goes back to your thought that, you know, it's a shame that this kid has to do it, but, clearly, I think a lot of people agree with that because she didn't know the answer, and but she went out and found it, and that's, I think, was exciting. I hope that behavior gets, you know, focused on, you know, whatever the solution is that she's trying to find or an issue is the solution she's trying to search for. I just like the process that she realizes that there needs to be some solution. She's going after it and making something happen. In middle school, I was definitely not doing that in middle school.
No, I think it says something about what's going on in the world, and I don't like to focus on the negative, but I mean, at least you know that some kids are paying attention.
Yeah.
I can say that, you know, I deal with a lot of kids that are just don't pay attention to what's going on. So for her to pay attention enough to what's going on in the world and to know, like, okay, maybe we can do something, you know, at home to revitalize this safety plan and figure out and let the students be aware of what's going on. Hey.
Right.
You know, it is. I'm never going to say that you shouldn't do it, but on the same hand, I'm kind of like, it should be a shout out to all of us adults that kids should never have to take the lead on this. We should be the ones. They should, like, we should be doing whatever we can to keep this from happening, so they don't have to worry about this.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, you know, what's the solution though? Complicated. Right. So many pieces.
I'm not trying to say that the adults aren't doing that in the Roanoke County Schools, Roanoke City Schools, but it is. It's just.
But there's so
much. We don't
much,
have those answers yet.
And there's so much for schools to deal with that things do get overlooked. Hmm. So,
well, like I said, focus on her. She's a leader of the future. You know, she said, my voice is not being heard. My perspective is not being shared, and I'm going to make sure it is. So what is she? I think she was in eighth grade, so she'll be graduating in 4 years, heading off to college. Man, if I was a university or, you know, close college like Roanoke College, I would say this is the kid I want. Keep your eye on her soon.
Well, and just in case anybody's wondering, Jeff's son and my daughter are starting a preschooler's rights committee, and so just be on the lookout for that as well, because you know, the power resides with the kids. Right?
Exactly. So. He potty trained this weekend, so he knows all about self-control.
He's got all the power at this point. Well, do want to share two, to segue out of that education place, there's two of our higher education places in the area that have got some big things going on. One, Liberty, is doing a pretty massive development in Bedford County. I mean, they were talking a bunch of buildings, a bunch of resources for technology companies in Bedford. I think it's going to be a huge boon for their economic development in that county. And then on the flip side, you've got Roanoke College, who just reached their $205 million goal for their Rising Roanoke campaign. So really exciting stuff. We've already seen some of the benefits of that capital campaign for Roanoke College, some big new athletic center, some new programming that they've done. But really exciting to kind of see that these local colleges and universities challenging the perception of what's possible here for local schools.
Roanoke College, I was excited to see that. Mike Maxey, the president over there, he's a great, great guy. And that school, I got a lot of friends that work there, and it's a really, really great school. And I, you know, just want to see them succeed. I know they've been looking for a science building, so hopefully this gets them there. And then there's also a lot of scholarships in there, so that's definitely helpful in, you know, today's world of college costs and opportunities there. So I didn't really look at the Bedford Liberty stuff too much. Ignorance is bliss on that one. Sounds like the way I read that story is Liberty is getting closer. So, but
I think we all may have mixed feelings about Liberty around this table in some ways.
I won't talk on that one.
Well, I've had a lot of, I've worked with a lot of people here that went to Liberty and are great assets to the community. So I'll just leave it at that. Liberty puts out some good workforce talent here in Roanoke.
Well, at this point, they're one of the biggest schools in the country, which is kind of mind-blowing in some ways. But.
Right.
Wow.
Well, they were the leaders in that online
revolution. Absolutely. But, yeah, they'll be doing big stuff in Bedford. Meanwhile, Roanoke College doing big stuff in Salem, and we're just sitting here wishing that they were actually in Roanoke.
In Roanoke. So. It just blows my mind. It really does. I feel like they should get a downtown campus or something. Like,
I think they have some people over at the Higher Ed Center. I think they had to do some classes there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Probably some opportunity there.
Yeah.
But I think they do a little bit there. But two wildly different college experiences.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you think about you throwing Hollins and Virginia Tech into that loop, man. Those are four wildly different experiences you would have at any of those places. Hmm.
We'll have to go experience. I think they all have some kind of the Higher Ed Center there, I think, has, like I said, they they do some classes there. Well, I think even like VCU has an office in there. So
George Mason, all of them, have some kind of presence there. Yeah,
Mary Baldwin, UVA.
Should do the, maybe they have a podcast room. We should do the podcast just to experience what all those different colleges are like in one.
Well, they should probably sponsor the podcast, and then we can do all kinds of cool stuff with them over there. It is true. It's an untapped resource in many ways. I don't think most people know what's going on at the Higher Ed Center at any given time.
They started doing these, I think just like a month or two ago, kind of monthly, you know, kind of like the same stuff you do here at CoLab, where there's a topic and, you know, for business folks, and I can't remember what they call it. It's like popcorn and or snacks and something. I know there's popcorn involved, but.
That's why you're interested. Huh?
Yeah, of course. Free food. That's how you do it. That's how you get people. But
if we start having pizza and something, then well, that's come here instead of there. So.
CoLab does a great job of feeding folks at their events. So.
Well, I did want to share kind of two more announcement-y type things here towards the end. One being that insurance enrollment stuff is going to open up on November 1st. This is particularly exciting this year because Medicaid is included in that. So there's really... theoretically, there are many fewer gaps in the insurance marketplace at this point. And the
Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
At my day job, we just learned about this. I think they're supposed to be, with Medicaid expansion, it should open the door for about 400,000 new residents in Virginia. Yeah. And so if you or you know somebody that you know, didn't qualify before, they may qualify now. I know that's going to be a big push, is to have folks sign up for that, because that is life-changing. If you qualify and you get it, it can really change your life. So
for those of you that don't know, in the past, if you were a child under 18 or if you were pregnant and you made less than 200% of the federal poverty line, it was pretty easy to get Medicaid. But if you were an adult, otherwise, it was almost impossible to get Medicaid. And so this really opens that up, means that a lot of folks that have been using the emergency room for healthcare should be able to have a more comprehensive experience of what it means to really take care of your health at this point. So good stuff. And so get out there. If that works for you, apply, but encourage other folks. And also the marketplace will open up as well on Thursday.
Right. So. Exciting.
And then last but not least, Roanoke City and the Arts Commission and Ride Solutions are looking for a new rider on the bus. So Jeff, I heard they approached you and you turned them down on this.
Yeah, because I guess you're not actually supposed to write while you're on the bus, and so they said they couldn't read it, and so they said, you know.
Are you commenting on the suspension of Roanoke City buses? Is that what's happening right now?
No, I'm a horrible writer. The your thing drives my sister nuts.
I'm terrible with that. Right? And I always say, my mom always asks, did you eat? And I'm like, no, I did something. I'm supposed to say eaten, but I always say ate.
That's one of those, yeah.
I'm sure she's going to hear this.
If you just hang around with my wife, she'll correct you on all this all the time.
Okay. My wife tries to.
I say, I haven't ate, and she's like, it's eaten. I'm like, either way, I still haven't done it.
But if you are a writer and you are looking to have a more in-depth experience with the city, I think the folks that have done the rider on the bus in the past would tell you it's a really great thing to do, and you meet some really different folks. And
that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. You get paid, too. I think
there's a $1,000 attached to it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a writer and don't read as much as I'd like, but I thought it was a great idea. Every time I've ridden the bus, and, you know, I'm a very astute observer. It's a good, interesting, different experience if you don't.
Well, a big shout out to the city and stuff on this, because I think that the more we can integrate arts into everything we're doing, the better. And so, like, just seeing the art on the side of the city buses and all those different kind of things, that it's a positive wherever we see that. So.
Absolutely. Good job to those guys over there. Is that Ride Solutions, right?
Ride Solutions, Arts Commission, a number of different folks engaged with that. So, again, partnerships.
Good
partnerships. Partnerships are the way. So. They'll have to get the humble hustle involved eventually.
I would do it. I like writing. I'm pretty creative.
Well, there you go. There you should apply.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. Right now.
Well, Well, shall we dig into our spotlights, folks?
Yeah.
I'll try. I got a tough one to fill. I got Ariel's spot today with arts and culture. Hope she's not listening. Don't listen. Turn off now, Ariel.
Xavier, why don't you kick us off with our food spotlight this week?
All right. Everybody knows I always come with the food. I'm the foodie of the group. This week is Jack Brown's Burger Joint. I've had many of great burgers in there. But I would have to say that my favorite is the Greg Brady. I'll give you a quick description. It's a burger topped with house-made mac and cheese and Martin's barbecue potato chips, along with a side of fries and the special little sauce that you get, and maybe a nice beer to maybe or water, light ice,
Dr. Pepper.
All right. Yeah, I have no clue who Greg Brady is.
What?
Couldn't tell you who he is.
Well, I don't know either, but I'm thinking it's a Brady bunch.
Yeah, it's Greg Brady. Isn't that the dad?
Oh, that's the dad.
Or is that the oldest son?
Yeah. I've never seen the Brady Bunch. So.
I definitely have seen the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
I don't know who Greg Brady is, but whoever it is, you've got a good burger.
I was thinking it was Tom Brady's less talented brother-in-law.
There you go. Let's go with that one.
He's named after a burger, and your brother's in.
What was the deal with it? I'm trying to think why it would be called Greg Brady.
So it's got the house-made mac and cheese, Martin's barbecue potato chips.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It doesn't have a Brady Brunch reference in my head, so.
It's a very good burger.
Maybe somebody had too much ice in their water when they named it or something.
Maybe.
Can't have too much ice in the water. Yeah. Give me all of Xavier's ice in my water.
Yeah. I can't do the ice. My teeth are sensitive. But yeah, shout out to Jack Brown's, downtown 213 Market Street. 212 Market Street. It's downtown, right beside Wasabi's. Very cool spot. Open late. I always refer them when people come into town.
Good deal.
Cool little hip spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you might run into our friendly police officer downtown while you're getting
You might run into a friendly police officer.
Maybe you buy them a burger. That'd be even extra friendly.
Yeah, water and glass of water.
It's a very interesting spot when you go in.
Very small. Or what's the word?
You'll look around for a little while.
A little more hipster than quaint in my mind, but
oh yeah, not quite.
Yeah, definitely of this world. Yeah, it's cool though.
Good deal.
Shout out to them.
Well, I'll give a shout out to another place down on the market area. Now we've got Clarkston Technology Solutions, which very happy to say is a company that graduated from being in the CoLab here and is growing like gangbusters and has just had their grand opening last week. They do. Really interesting work in terms of connecting and doing consulting work for technology solutions for some big companies. I know they work with some of the major pharmaceuticals out there to try and figure out how to use software most effectively for their manufacturing process and things like that. So really exciting company to have in Roanoke, to have people hire in tech folks in Roanoke, bringing folks here. And I know from talking to the guy who leads the team here, Jeff Graffio, that they really love being in this area and getting engaged here. So big shout out to Clarkston. Thanks for coming to the CoLab and big shout out for you guys' growth and continued success down there.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw that they had that grand opening. I wasn't able to make it, but definitely great to see more business growth. I guess this is the part I've been trying to put off because I got arts and culture and it's such my most
difficult. You don't like arts and culture.
I love arts and culture. I just don't know how to talk about it or find. I mean, like I'm sitting there and I knew this was going to be my spot. So I was thinking, what can I share? And I thought about, there's a new, well, I don't think it's new, but they took Walkabout Outfitters old location down on the market. Just happened to pass by there the other day and saw like beautiful, beautiful space in there. Now it's unhelpful because I can't think of the name of it, and I was trying to find it. And so I'm not going to talk about that, but maybe Ariel will talk about it next week. Maybe she's already talked about it. Then I was like, I really wanted to share my experience walking. I was going over to Martin's for lunch, and I think it's on Church there, and is that 2nd Street? Just look over, there's a naked woman in the window. I'm like, what is that naked woman in the window? Is this a new art place kind of thing? Is this like, I mean, it was a tension grabber. And but then I realized it's a new business, so this is your section. So I, but I feel like I had to mention that because that was just a
hey, you know, arts and culture everywhere,
right? You know, so I think that's a Derriere Dussolier something.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about? You seen
well,
it?
Well, there's I think there's one up in Charlottesville.
Oh, okay, that would make sense because it well, it looks like there's naked women in the window, but anyway, it's a bra shop, so.
We should probably limit talk of naked women in the window with having three guys here around the table. At the
true.
Moment, so.
True. Well, my wife was laughing at me because I was like, would you believe what they got downtown? I sound like, she's like, you sound like an old man. Okay. Well, sorry. All right. So basically what I just wanted to talk about with arts and culture is the fact that Halloween is this week. And it's, I think, one of the best, most fun holidays. You know, a little scary, a little bit, you know, the Mexican tradition of Dia de Muerte. It's just, there's so much coolness, like the sort of remembering the dead. And I lead that history bike tour, and we went to the cemetery downtown, which if you've never been to a historic cemetery like that, it's just such a peaceful, quiet, and it, you know, you have to go there with purpose. And to kind of, you know, that the founders of this city are buried in that cemetery, and it's just a very surreal moment to go in there and look around. And so my general arts and culture is, you know, go out, experience Halloween this week, if you didn't this weekend, and, you know, think of those that have passed and celebrate their lives on this Halloween week. That's kind nice. Of my
very good.
Deep thoughts with Jeff. Next week's podcast.
Well, following up on that, I have to ask you guys, are you guys dressing up for Halloween this year?
I have not dressed up since I was 7.
What?
Good for you, man.
And even when I was, no, I'd say maybe 10. Even when we dressed up, it was like, okay, you just finished football practice.
Go as a football player.
put on your grab a pillowcase and walk down the street.
All right.
But Halloween wasn't that big for us, but I grew up in the church.
Okay.
So my mom, that wasn't really like, it was like, we're going to go to the church and or whatever. But Halloween wasn't, it was like trunk or treats and stuff like that. We didn't do, right. Halloween was never big for me. And even as an adult in college and stuff, it was just another reason to party.
Yeah.
So yeah. I would like to dress up, though. I think it'd be fun.
You should do it, man.
I know. Yeah. I want to be like a lumberjack or something.
There you go. Oh, you'd make a beard. Good lumberjack. Yeah.
I know. I cut my beard, yeah. But I think it'd be cool.
You can go for that.
Just, yeah. You might get mistaken as a hipster. So just
this is true.
Be careful. Like, oh, look, it's somebody from Brooklyn. Right. No, lumberjack.
I have to grab the overalls or something.
Are you dressing up, Jeff?
You know, I got, you know, two-year-old boy who's going to Spider-Man and loving it. And I feel like, I saw a lot of parents this weekend dressing up the same as, I don't know, I just had a moment of judgment in my mind. Some of it was fun. Some of it was way over the top. Like, you're kind of taking away from your kid. I don't have anything in mind. I have some old costumes. See, I have a very positive memory growing up. It was something I did at my grandma's house. And interesting. So I grew up in St. Louis, and this is a fun fact. The St. Louis has a weird tradition, I guess I found out that nobody else does. You don't, when you say trick or treat, you are then expected to tell a joke. And then you don't get your treat unless you tell a joke. Yeah. And nobody else does this. So out of memories of that, I taught my son a joke. And since he's dressed as Spider-Man, do you want to hear his joke?
Of course we want to hear his joke.
All right, so his joke is, what does Spider-Man eat? Uncle Spiders. Ben? Uncle Ben's rice.
Man, that is like dark.
Is it dark?
It's a little dark. I don't get it. Man.
Well, so like Uncle Ben's rice is a brand, right? Well, Peter Parker's uncle, the dye that caused him to become Spider-Man, was Uncle Ben.
Okay.
Well, so even funnier is that he's a 2-year-old, so you ever try to teach? Just wait, Brad. Try to teach your 2-year-old a joke. He just says, what's Spider-Man eat? Rice. I was like, no, you're supposed to say Uncle Ben's rice. Otherwise, it makes sense. And he just looks at me like I'm the idiot.
See, I'm not a Marvel fan.
Well,
I'm not either, but I saw the Spider-Man movies. That seems a little.
Well, okay, so I realized it was difficult. I did try to change it. And so I tried to tell him to just say French flies, right? Because spiders eat flies. And that was impossible. You can't teach a 2-year-old how to change a joke. Anyway, sorry, I've talked too long.
Well, very good. We'll run through a couple of events here, and then Xavier's got a big announcement to share, and we'll wrap up. But coming up this week, we've got events-wise, we've got Joe Cobb hosting a community conversation on October 30th. Downshift's birthday party. I know we talked probably too much about Downshift.
Yeah,
on here,
those guys
coming up on November 2nd. And if you wanted to pair that to make an even more interesting evening, there's also a show at Column stage on November 2nd, Empty Pockets. Maybe a good chance to go out and see that new venue and then go over and check out what Downshift's got going on. So exciting stuff. But Xavier, why don't you share the most exciting thing that's going on this coming week?
Okay. The grand opening for the Humble Hustle store. If you don't know, Humble Hustle is a nonprofit, but we also have clothes. And we are opening up a store at 601 11th Street, Saturday, November 3rd at 12 p.m. Come by, get you a t-shirt or a hoodie or a crew neck. Got a couple jackets. Everything is like exclusive stuff, so you can get you a one of one. It's pretty cool stuff. I've worked really hard. Grab you a mimosa, get you some food. My mom's going to be cooking.
Ooh.
So my mom and grandma.
Is that this weekend only?
That is this.
All right, save me a plate then.
Okay. I'll send you a plate.
And an XL hoodie.
Okay, got you. But yeah, come by. Some really cool clothes, meaningful clothes. I'm also, it's a surprise, so I guess the people who hear the podcast will know. But I do photography, and for the last 2 years, I've been going to different countries, and I've got some really, really cool shots. So some stories will be on the wall with some photos. So it's like an exhibit type of party, networking event, clothing.
Very cool.
Whole little gig. But if you can come by, please make it. 601 11th Street at 12 o'clock.
601 11th Street Northwest.
Northwest.
Right.
Yep. Yes. Northwest. 601, well, 11th and Mormon, I should
11th
say.
11th and Mormon.
11th
Good
and Mormon. Yep. Right across the street from the Hope Center and the U-Haul place.
I hope you've got some real Deep V's shirts for me, because you know how I love a good Deep V.
So I have to explain everything. Like, of course, I spent a lot of money getting all these clothes and stuff like that. So this is not the end all. Like, so, like I said, a lot of things are one of ones.
Yeah,
you know, that might be the only hoodie that's made like that. But of course, as soon as all this is out, it'll be more stuff coming out. So
right,
and this is my way of trying to figure out who, you know, who needs what.
And don't worry, folks. I've already put the pressure on for onesies for babies. And
the onesies are coming.
Two tees also. Yeah.
Right.
They grow up quick.
Yeah.
My kid needs a shirt.
Good deal. Well, excited for you, Xavier.
I appreciate it.
Hopefully have a good crowd out there
I think we will.
Good deal. Well, thank you all for listening to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast this week. You guys got anything else to share this week?
Oh, man, on the spot all of a sudden. It's going to be a good week. That's all I know.
Enjoy the nice weather this week.
I hope Saturday is just beautiful.
It will be.
I'm going to speak that. Yeah.
Well, give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this. Really helps other folks find us and helps with the algorithm. And then please subscribe to our newsletter at roanokeweekly.com. But we look forward to seeing you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you.